Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
An independent review of the cervical check slides of over 1,000 women has found that cancer was missed in over 150 women, or 15% of those re-examined. The report, conducted by the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists, found that in a further 15% of cases, the panel disagreed with the original cervical check reading of smear tests, but said they didn't believe they had an adverse impact on their outcome. Overall, what's called a discordant result was determined in 30% of cases, but they said the pattern of discordance found is similar to that found in the NHS. One woman whose cancer was missed was 35-year-old Fiona Murray. She was a mother of four from Finglas. Her husband Gary has been telling me more about Fiona.
Fiona's a lovely woman. She was totally fine before she passed away. We were only married two weeks in St. Joseph Hospice. She's a mother of four kids. And the youngest fellow was only 8 years of age. He suffered very bad with his kidneys. He used to get checked every year. And she was the one that looked after him.
They all missed their mum.
I know, and they do. And she's a heart of gold. There's not a woman out there like her. She was a loving woman. She was a loving mother. And we miss her terrible. And the kids, they all miss her terrible too. I wish she was here now, holding my hand. She's not here no more. All because of what happened with the cervical check. She got the wrong result in. And I just can't get my head around it anymore. It's just too much for me and the kids. She should be here with her family now. She should. Special Christmas coming up. She'll be 5 years passed away now in May. And there's nothing else. She's a great woman, she was. She's a proper woman. She was just great with the kids and not great with me. She's my right arm. I've had to lose my arm, right? Nothing else I can say. It's just she was the best.
Gary, that is just, you know, it's just so awfully sad.
Yeah.
What happened? Take me back. I mean, Fiona was a woman. She looked after her health.
She did. She was always in and out with the doctors. If she had a pain on her head, she was straight down and she'd tell the doctor she had a pain in the head and could she go into the mental hospital just to get a blood test. She was always conscious about things, especially for cancer. She was up and down. She'd always got a cervical check. And then she went to the doctor and she told the doctor she didn't feel very well. Well, back in 2009, she got a cervical check and her results came back saying that she was perfect. There was nothing to worry about. She got it done in 2012 and he says it was okay. There was nothing to worry about. But from 2012 up to 2014, she started getting very sick. She got pains in her head, pains in her back. She had a lot of clots. She had blood clots. Mm. And he tried to say that it was that was something to do with the change, like they gave her the pill, things like that, and that didn't work. It was still getting very heavy. He told her it was fibroid, but a doctor actually done an internal. It was the only doctor ever done an internal on her. And when she checked it out, she said he could feel something there in her cervix. Mm. So she was told to go in for a little operation. They wanted to put a coil in and he wanted to check up a fibroid, but unfortunately when she went into the hospital, there was a tumour in her cervix that broke. It just broke down. It was a big tumour. And he sent her off for analysis and says that she was in the stage 2 cancer. Mm. So you're seeing a professor in the mental hospital and he says was that she was only in the stage 2 bracket and that she'd be okay, she'd be looked after, she should get through this. Unfortunately she only lasted 8 months. I went right through her. We got married the last 2 weeks before she passed away. I have to say, those last 2 weeks before she passed away, she was just looking forward to the wedding. She couldn't wait. She was happy every morning before the wedding. And as soon as she got married, she says to me, "I'm married now, and there's nothing more I can look after." And she passed away through that week. Never forget it.
And Gary, you agreed to participate in this Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynaecologists look at the cervical check readings.
Yeah.
And you received a letter like so many families today. And what did it tell you?
Well, the letter, I actually approved to go for that report. And they were keeping me informed through the year, like what was going on, the whole lot. But when I got that letter came out, it would have been last month when I got that report back. Mm-hmm. And it told me in the letter that, it said in the letter that in 2009 when Fiona got a cervical check, that she had our sales were okay. Everything was normal there, and she'd nothing to worry about. And then in 2012, the exact same reading came in. But then it says, but when he checked out the slides in 2009, she had high cells there that they should have been treated. And that if they caught her in time, at that time, she'd be still here today. And that's exactly what was in that report. That if they looked after her on that day, with that report, like when she got her reading back, she got her back wrong, but she got her back where she had to get these cells sorted out, she'd be still here with me and the kids today. She'd be still standing here. She's a very young woman. She was only 25 when she was taken away from me and my kids. And she was great. So it was the last 8 months then when they found the cancer in her.
She had a real sense of something wrong.
Yeah, she knew her own body. Everybody knows her own body. And she knew there was something wrong there.
I don't know, Gary. I mean, you've had the heartbreak of losing her. And now the heartbreak of this letter from the Royal College telling you they've concluded that the reading found high-grade abnormal cells and had a referral been made to colposcopy for treatment in 2009. It's likely that the cancer diagnosed in 2014 would have been prevented. An opportunity to prevent the cancer was probably missed. And the expert panel noted that the negative result of the smear in February 2012, this was the second smear, that was confirmed.
Yeah.
That's heartbreak on heartbreak.
It is. It's like I'm reliving the whole lot over again. And the same with the kids. I told the kids yesterday when they came up from school, I said, listen, it's going to be in the papers again tomorrow, so be prepared. And they're off to school. They went to school today. So I'm just waiting for them to come home and see how they are. But it's like reliving the past again. It's just when you see it in the newspapers and hear it on the radio and hear it on the news, it's devastating. So I'm here on my own now, and I'm bringing up four kids on my own.
What ages are they, Gary, now?
Blaine is, he'd be 13 now. He was only 8 when his mammy passed away. I have a daughter called Zoe, and she's 14 now. And she would have been only about 9. And China, her birthday was only there in November, so she's 20, and she would have been only 15 when her mummy went. And then the eldest fella's 22. But they were all young when she passed away. They all loved her mummy, and she'd done anything for her family and for the kids and the whole lot. So it's not like, it's a broken family now, that's the way it feels. It feels like it's a broken family. But it's just hard to let go, you know?
And that was Gary Murray, whose story featured in today's Irish Independent. I'm joined by Stephen Teep, patient advocate for Cervical Check, now in our Cork studio, and by the Fianna Fáil leader, Micheál Martin, in our Dáil studio. I suppose more than most, Stephen Teep, you can relate to and understand what Gary Murray is going through. Irene, was she 35 as well?
Yeah, she was 35 when she passed away also. Yeah, look, just listening to Gary there was me 18 months ago. She's absolutely, it's very emotional listening to that. I know exactly the pain that he's going through. There's been a number of people over the last couple of weeks that have been getting the news on the back of this ARCOG review, and reopening old wounds like that, like Gary's. I had another particular gentleman called to my house at the weekend as well, who's in the exact same situation. I think what you notice from this review and from what Gary was saying and from many of the people in this is that the report has shown up that there was discordance in the results. We now know that out of 308 people that showed discordance, 159 of those, would result in a delayed diagnosis, as Gary was saying, and as the other gentleman I had at the weekend. But for them, it's hard for them to get closure from this. It's hard for them to move on. We've been asking the Minister of Health and the government and the Taoiseach last summer to allow the people that are involved in this to get their own independent reviews done, just so they can get their own individual answers on this. Because what these reports don't say is, do these results fall into the limitations of screening or not? And having a proper explanation around these limitations, just so people can finally move on. And again, we're asking for the minister to allow this happen. I think for the sake of humanity at this stage, and listening to these poor people like Gary, you know, the gentleman that I had listened to, we recently had a support group meeting, a 2-to-1+ meeting 2 weeks ago, where 70 people were at it. Again, an awful lot of hurt, an awful lot of pain, and still today, an awful lot of unanswered questions. And we really need to get closure for these people on that.
Stephen, what's the blockage? You said to get independent, I suppose, advice or screening to see if they fall into the limitations of screening.
Yeah, I suppose.
Is the minister blocking that?
Unfortunately, right now, there's only one route to do this, and you need to go. The only way you can do this is by going through a solicitor's way. The HSC have mm-hmm. set up access to getting your hands on the slides. You need to organise an independent medical profession to review these slides, and of course that costs money. For myself to get Irene's two slides, you're looking at the region of around €2,000. Not everybody can afford this. I think it's the least the government can do to give closure to the people that are involved in this, and it's more to do with money than actually giving them access, because you need the only process that's open to people getting the truth here is unfortunately the legal system.
So what is your reaction to this report today and to its findings, particularly in relation to that 30%?
Yes, after a year and a bit, finally we're at the end of it. Look, obviously there's a lot of heartbreaking news in relation to it. I suppose one of the questions I have, I'm waiting on the medical experts to comment on the actual percentages and all of that. Comparing us to another market when it's a different screening programme they're comparing us to, I don't understand how they can do that. So I'd like to see more of an explanation on that. If there was an international standard, of course, that all screening programmes should be upheld against, and they were reviewing Ireland against that, I'm sure it'd be a different case. But given, I suppose, the history of cervical check, the outsourcing of labs, etc., that we're all well aware of at this stage, the only focus here for me is on the individual women and the next of kin, people like Gary, and providing them with support and ensuring that they have everything they need in order to get the answers that they require.
Stephen, will you stay with me, because I want to come back to you and talk to you about the... I know an extra 60 have applied to be part of the 221 Plus group, but Micheál Martin, the Fianna Fáil leader, is with us as well. Micheál Martin, good evening to you.
Good evening.
You raised a separate story a tale today in Leinster House. Tell us about Bernadette Kiley and what happened to her.
Well, Bernadette Kiley, I met with Bernadette yesterday. I had met her last week, incidentally, when I was literally knocking on doors, and I went into a living room and heard her story. And then her daughter Claudia contacted me, and because Claudia is representing Bernadette, and Bernadette is a victim of non-disclosure on this issue. She would have been part of the original audit, but was never told. And were it not for her solicitor intervening this October and seeking access to her medical records in the Cork University Hospital, the discovery that she was part of the audit, and also that would have never come to light. And indeed, the audit letter that dated the 8th of July from Dr. Gráinne Flannelly of Cervical Check, which was sent to her consultant in July 2017, that was never disclosed to her. And they learned of this in November through their solicitor accessing their medical records. And I find it inexplicable. I can't comprehend how she would not have been included day one. She then subsequently sought admission to the 221 group and to all of the packages that are available there, including the ex gratia payment, and has been rebuffed in relation to that. Claudia said to me last evening that their trust was shattered. They didn't realise that they were part of ongoing meetings involving the consultants and in terms of multidisciplinary meetings, or indeed in terms of correspondence going from the cervical check throughout 2016, 2017 and 2017. And there was multidisciplinary review meetings discussing her case as well. And, the minister came up to me after the leader's questions today, and he was able to see the letter of July 2017, which is the standard letter talking about, that terrible phrase, if open disclosure is indicated in this case, please follow the local hospital guidelines. So, but the question I have to ask arising from that then is, how many more Bernadettes are there? And the second question related to not only cytology, but also to colposcoscopy.
Yeah, and I'll come to colposcoscopy with you in just a minute, Micheál Martin, but I want to stay with Bernadette's story so that people are maybe clear on this. This was the original audit, the look back. conducted by Cervical Check. She was part of it. She never knew she was part of it. There was a letter sent to her consultant, but the letter never got to her until, as you say, a discovery just a couple of months ago.
Yes.
By her solicitor.
Yeah, my understanding is the solicitor would have applied in October to the CUH and would have got a response in early November.
And you said today in the House, and you might tell us now, 23 times you said she has been trying to...
Her daughter rang the Minister's office.
Minister for Health.
Minister for Health's office, and she estimates about 23 times to get access. Now, the Minister confirmed that someone in the Minister's office did receive the phone calls, but there was no follow-through and no follow-up. And in relation to medical cards, Claudia applied for a medical card on behalf of her mother and was initially refused. And in desperation, the mother emailed the Taoiseach's office and they must have put pressure on the medical card system or whatever, and the medical card didn't arrive then.
The Taoiseach said he wasn't familiar with this case today. You didn't get an answer to that question of, are there more Bernadettes? How many more Bernadettes? Stephen Teep, do you believe there are more Bernadettes out there?
Well, it's hard to say that there isn't, given what I just heard there from Micheál. It's absolutely shocking to hear that. It's a typical example of non-disclosure. It's absolutely terrible to hear that this is still going on. What mistake was made here? I think the minister needs to actually investigate this. And as the question you asked me, is there any more that are involved in this? I don't know. I understand, too, why she wouldn't have... gotten access to any of those supports, because those supports were originally for the 221 who were disclosed to, and also anybody that had discordance in their results from ARCOG, to which she fell outside of the category, unfortunately, on both those occasions, and not correctly so, as she should have been, as Micheál said, a part of the 221. She should have access to all of those supports, and It's unacceptable.
And Micheál Martin, to move on to colposcopy, because this review today also involved expertise in colposcopy, which happens after a screen shows something. People will be sent then for a physical exam and colposcopy. There was a detailed scrutiny. They said they identified where management of abnormal smears could have been better, reinforcing, I think, the need for vigilance in the guidelines.
Yes, I think that there's a need for greater examination of that. And that's the question I was putting to the Taoiseach. Are we satisfied in terms of the quality controls over the colposcopy services? Mm-hmm. And I know that we're under enormous pressure and have been on a continual basis over the years. But in terms of Bernadette's, like the Royal ARCOG's, the expert panel's review was saying that they concluded there was a disagreement in the smear results, in other words, between the original cervical check test and the review in August of 2009. But also the panel was critical of inadequate follow-up in the colposcopy clinic. And both of these represented missed opportunities to prevent your cancer or diagnose it at an earlier stage. This was in the correspondence to Bernadette from ARCOG. So in other words, there was two opportunities back in 2009 which were missed, and it wasn't until 2015 at a subsequent colposcopy that her cancer was detected, and that necessitated fairly serious treatment, I can tell you, which has had left an impact on Bernadette and has affected in terms of her quality of life and so on outcomes. So I think there is an issue there that we need to be clear that we need to pursue and make sure. And I don't want to be, you know, I want to be very reasonable and responsible about this, but I'm slightly concerned about that aspect of it.
And so in your reaction to today's report from the Royal College, I mean, you're raising questions there, and we spoke to Priscilla Lynch about it earlier, describing them as a flag raised around colposcopy there. In relation to what it is saying around cervical screening, Micheál Martin, do you accept its findings? Are you satisfied with its findings?
I have to read it first,
to be fair, honest. That is fair enough. I know the first amount of it is 64 pages, and there are various appendices after that.
I think
it's substantial.
One conclusion I would draw, I think I'm correct in saying the 30% discordant figure that's been used, the problem I see is that in the original I suppose, presentation of cervical check and in a lot of the documentation surrounding it up to quite recently, there was never an impression given to those availing of the test that there was that level of discordance or potential discordance. Mm. Whereas, and I think that might have been a factor in terms of the lack of follow-on from you know, the test right onto colposcopy.
Do you mean a failure to have alerted women right along the way that screening carries, if you like, these margins of errors, these limitations?
And that's what I'm saying. Without having read the report, I have a sense that the limitations of the cervical check or screening generally was not highlighted to the degree that it perhaps should have been.
But in terms of actions now by cervical check, by the Minister for Health, by government, Micheál Martin, is there more you think needs to be done? And you know, bearing in mind, as you say, you're still going to have to sit down and read this report in detail.
Well, I think that it would appear to me that we do need to examine colposcopy services and make sure that the resources are there and that the investment is there and a proper objective analysis of the pressures our people are working under, and that we are at the level we should be in terms of quality and in terms of outcomes. And I think that would be that's an initial preliminary observation that I would make, even following from what the Taoiseach said to me, the Dáil today, arising, he was reading from one of the conclusions of the RCOG in terms of colposcopy services. And I think that will be an issue, I think, in the near future. I think in terms of the women, I think, involved here, there needs to be a comprehensive approach to making sure that women are not left out, that women have not been left behind in terms of access to proper medical services and to the entire array of packages. I'm conscious that Stephen and Lorraine Walsh and Vicky Feely and others have really fought the fight on behalf of many of the women involved here, and I think have gone through too much in terms of that fight. And I would like to see a much more open approach to embrace the needs of all of the women who involved here, to support them in a more proactive way. And I mean, the Department of Health, I think, should do that. And I think we need to create structures that allow for proper patient advocacy in situations such as this. And the time is long gone for that to happen.
All right. Micheál Martin, leader of Fianna Fáil, thank you very much. Stephen Teep is still with us. 60 more applying to be part of the 221 group. What do they need? Micheál Martin has talked about some of what he believes they should have access to, but what do they need? What do their families need, Stephen?
Everybody just needs the answers, just need to know the truth. Some of the people that have contacted us have not been part of the RCOG review, have not been a part of the original 221, fall outside of this again, probably got diagnosed with cancer more recent than that, have done their own independent review themselves and realised that there's some element of discordance in their slides also, are applying to us for support, but unfortunately we can't offer them the support packages that we would avail of, because they fall out of those two criteria, as I mentioned earlier. Okay. However, look, we are there to answer questions whatever way we can and to continue contacting
us. One final question to you. You didn't attend today's briefing. The patient advocates didn't attend the Royal College briefing around their report today. Was there any reason for that?
No, look, for myself, it was just simple geography. I couldn't make it up from Cork earlier on. Up to about 11 o'clock this morning, I wasn't given access remotely to the meeting. Eventually that changed and I was granted access, so I was able to dial in, but it was essentially, you know, I was unable to go. As I know, I've got the two kids. Vicky had to go to hospital to get bloods done for treatment, so she was tied up otherwise also.
All right.
So,
and can you speak to these concerns apparently that we had around slides being mislabeled, women being told original smear test results were correct only to be told later they weren't? Were you familiar with these issues that had been around the report for RCOG?
Yeah, so look, I suppose there was a validation process in place with the HSC around reports that were coming back from RCOG, and they were just double checking the information, which highlighted a number of areas that needed correcting. And we were aware that the HSC had to send a number of the reports back that had inaccurate information on it, just incorrect dates and so on.
Yeah.
So this was something that we raised our concerns about, and we asked the Department of Health to clarify their position on this. Were they satisfied that RCOG had the proper validation process in place? Again, this is all down to communication and accuracy in these reports also. So we know there's a number of people that have been concerned around on that as well.
So, but do you have confidence in this report?
Not 100% confidence in the report. Just in relation to a number of areas, I suppose, worth looking at the number of figures that are coming out in statistics. We've got to bear in mind that 1,800 people were invited to participate in this report. Just over 1,000 did. So they're not working to full data. We also need to bear in mind that they're comparing our screening programme to a completely different one based in the UK. And you can't compare apple and oranges here. We need to be like for like.
Always.
So my focus, as I said at the beginning, is on the women and family, people like Gary, who you interviewed earlier on, and just ensuring that they get all the answers they require and the support that they need.
Stephen Teep, many thanks for your time this evening.